show. Sitting next to him is the terrible Brian Ball. I'm the much less fuzzy Nicola Masser. And today we've got Earl David Reed. Now let's send it over to your host, Vinny Paulino.
Is your name Vinny Paulino?
I was saying hello at the same time you're saying hello. Why can't I say, I was gone for a week. I'm eager to say hello to the people.
I'm not even going to put the camera on you.
I am so going to murder him, Nick. I'm going to kill him today.
I know.
Like, don't you know you're not supposed to talk until you're spoken to? How many times do I have to tell you that? Here, in public, anywhere. Do not speak unless you're spoken to. You mutt. You're like mongoloid.
I think I remember you saying that once or twice.
You're the worst indentured servant I've ever met.
I'm with you, Nick. He really is. You think I could have caught a smarter one?
No, I don't think you could have caught a smarter one. I don't think
that's
you
why
the
you
capability.
Were able to catch him so easily.
Yeah,
you're just like, hi, everybody. I just realized there's a camera on. Hello, welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm Vinny, and unfortunately, you've met Brian. You want to say hello again, Brian? So
no, I already did. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, good. Good. We got a good show lined up for you today. Apart from Ryan being back, we have Earl David Reed coming in. And let me tell you something. I have a lot of questions for this guy. Star Search winner, professional bodybuilder that used to weigh 245 pounds.
Yeah.
And now he's just like a little skinny guy.
Let that be an inspiration to you, Vinny.
No, I personally hate him for that. And I want to tell him as much. So I'm looking forward to have him coming in a little bit. Don't forget, if you are watching the show on Facebook, feel free to submit your questions to us. I try to keep the Facebook page open during the show so I can read your questions as we go. So make sure you do that. And also make sure you like our Facebook page and subscribe on the iTunes and the YouTubes.
Yes.
Those are two places that we are.
Yes, we're among, also amongst others. Where else, Vinny?
Stitcher Radio and the Google Play app, or the Google Play Store, and CarlsonComedy.com.
Yay!
And if you say Comedy at the Carlson Cast into a mirror three times, the three of us appear behind you.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's annoying, because sometimes it interrupts my dinner.
You know what the worst part is? The three of us show up behind you, and then Nick and I leave you with Brian.
I got shit to do.
Nick and I are
nothing.
Busy.
I got nothing.
Yeah, Brian could, like, bother you for a while.
Yeah, I got nothing better to do.
Just a ghostly Brian, like, hey, so like, you guys ever heard of recumbent bikes?
Nick.
Just out there. just out there meeting people.
What planet is he living on when it's like, hey, here's your host, Vinny Paulino? I start to say hello, and he's like, hello. Like, wait up, just screw up your cue.
He's in a fugue state.
Oh.
I don't know what that means, but I assume
fugue
it's bad.
Fugue state.
I wish he was in another state. But, speaking of great insults, you guys ready for the roast battles coming back up?
Woo!
Hit that roast battle logo,
bam!
Nick. There it is. Roast battles round two start again this Wednesday, and look at this lineup. Look who's down there on the bottom. It's little Nicky.
Little me.
Little Nick Lavasser is competing. He did pretty well last week. But the competition is fierce.
It is.
They are going head-to-head, nose-to-nose, and
kissing.
All sorts of germs.
It hasn't happened yet, but it might. Anything goes on the roast battle, well, so it might happen.
We'll see what happens in Nick's bracket, but I'm pretty sure everybody else is planning on insulting.
We know what Nick's closer is now.
Yep, I'm going to kiss the shit out of George.
Oh, God.
Gross. So Wednesday, 8 p.m., tickets are $10 at the door, and we are also doing a very, very special part of the event. It is the birthday roast of our friend Mr. Mark Ippolito, the co-founder here of Comedy at the Carlson. His birthday's on Tuesday.
Who is an eminently roastable human being.
He is.
Oh, my God.
He's a wellspring.
He's a wellspring, but we'll just find out who's – we'll find out which comics – really have the metal to go after him or not.
I was at the show on Wednesday, and it was one of the most fun comedy shows I've been to in a very long time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun just to watch.
Yeah. Well, from my angle, it's a little different. From my angle, you know, being the guy who stands on stage for the whole thing and kind of gets to be the referee, so to speak, it is a very, very good time, and I can only imagine I would have had way more fun if I was in the crowd with you guys.
It was a lot of fun.
You did get to spit some pretty hot fire a couple of times, though.
Just a couple. Just a couple. The couple. But we're looking forward to seeing you this Wednesday night. And let's talk about our sponsors on the show. And we're, before we bring in our Earl David Reed, Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby. Handcrafted small batches made right here in upstate New York. Applewood Smoke Whiskey are also available in Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. IronSmokeWhiskey.com for all of your whiskey needs.
Delicious whiskey.
Sapori, baby.
Put it in me.
Cafe Gatorade. How does it go, Nick?
Put it in me.
That's it. Sapori. Put it in me.
When did we have the claps?
Last week when weren't gone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Stuff got cooler when you weren't here.
Yeah, they really did.
It all as is it off to do.
It was great when we started the show last week. Nick and I both remembered our names and cues. It was amazing. At Sapori Rochester, you can visit them in the Powers Building Atrium, Tennis Club of Rochester, or you could have them cater your very own special event, or you could order them on Grubhub if you're nasty. That's right. Get yourself some Grubhub.
You're nasty.
I like that too much.
Three Heads Brewing!
Woo!
I'll tell you what, they have made my last week tolerable. I've been enjoying the hell out of Tropical Kind.
Not enough to make me tolerable, though.
No.
Oh my god, it makes you worse. Like, the beer's supposed to help. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if there's any help for you. ThreeHeadsBrewing.com. The new artist in residency this month just started, so keep an eye out for... on their Facebook page to find out about local music events happening at the brewery. You will not be disappointed. And last but not least, hey, Nick.
Yeah?
How does your vape drip?
1 second. Oh, bad.
You know that's expensive equipment.
Yeah.
And you're just blowing
just blow
your,
smoke into it.
Your, chucking clouds. Right?
Delightful, delightful smelling smoke.
Nice, yeah, right? Nice job, bro.
Chucking clouds, bro. Bad drip, baby. Available in many delicious flavors. Bad blood, ugly butter, Farley's gnarly sauce, cereal trip. And let's not forget, they also have clown. Did you know the clown?
Clown is crazy. Yes. I've been using the regular bad drip stuff for a long time, and it's all very, very good. But clown's totally out there and way different.
Like, yeah. Wow. So like, if you're in your local vape stop vape shop, you'll see like bad drip stuff and you'll see clown stuff.
Hmm.
Both locally made. Both local nice. Made by a local company, shipped all over the world.
All over planet Earth.
Listen, I wouldn't recommend drinking it, but you know, put it in your vape. You're going to enjoy it.
I think it's specifically forbidden to drink it.
Well, probably for the best. But listen, what do I know? Get yourself some Bad Drip at Bad Drip on Instagram. And there's some big things coming up with them. We'll keep you posted on. And we're going to hit our Bad Drip spot, and we're going to be back with Earl David Reed. Stay tuned, everybody.
Listening to Comedy at the Carlson Cast, hop over to Facebook and give us a like if you're enjoying what you're hearing, and you also might have a chance to win tickets for one of our upcoming shows, and also feel free to swing over to Twitter and give us a follow on there. Now we're going to be sending a right Vinny Paulino.
Oh boy, oh boy. I'm very excited. We have a special guest in the studio. He is going to be performing three more shows here at Comedy at the Carlson. It is Earl David Reed.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Brian, thanks for not talking over his intro this time.
You're welcome.
Earl, you're a professional radio guy. Let me tell you what this numbnut did at the start of the show today.
Okay.
And you might want to hold that up a little
bit.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So we start the show. Nick introduces me. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, it's your host, Vinny Paulino, and I start to say hello, and he just goes, "Hi, everybody."
I tried to do like, a stereo hello.
Is there anything more
festive and shit? Look at him.
Yeah, I tried to do a stereo hello, and it did not go well.
Is there anything more amateur than that in the world?
It's so funny because we talk about radio and everything. We'll get to comedy in a second, but it's like people say, "Well, like I do mornings."
Yeah.
You know, man. You ever get used to waking up that early? And I go, no, you tolerate it.
Yeah.
But you never get used to it. Every morning is a continuous suckling at the teeth of wee hours.
I had to be at the station at 4:30 every morning.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. But last night here at this club, I got to tell you, we had the best time. Standing ovation. I'm not bragging on myself. But yeah.
But you
I'm
are.
That good. you need to come out to this club. This club is a state-of-the-art club. It's brand new. I know you might have been over to the place in Webster. And
what place? Never heard of it.
Some place named after a small black child.
How do we never put that together? Sometimes it's like fresh eyes. Somebody from out of town comes in and goes, Webster, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Belvedere, New York. But seriously, this club is the best. We had the best time. Tickets are selling like through the roof, man. And this is the best place. This is beautiful. We're talking about this setup. It's really nice. You guys have done some good work.
Well, I'll tell you what. I can only take credit for what's in this room. I have to give all the credit to our good friend Mark Ippolito for designing this place and booking good acts.
Well, that's a good... Here, see, the guy knows comedy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Definitely.
And that's who you need to run a comedy club.
Yeah.
Okay? Just because your cousin has a banquet room at the Ramada does not make you a comedy club owner. Okay, that's what happened. You know, okay. It's like, okay, the show's going to go a little earlier because we got to get you out of here because we have to set up for the Shapsky wedding tomorrow. It's like, no, this is a legitimate comedy club. You're gonna love it.
He knows comedy and he knows comics.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know,
how to talk our language and, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not a bad show. It never. This place is the place to go. I was here last night, killed it. I will kill it again tonight for one show, 7:30. Tomorrow we have two shows. I'm so excited. I don't even know what time they are. What time is it?
7:30 and 7:30 and 10.
There you go. And we're going to have a great time there, too. Now, I used to live here, and I used to do mornings with Brother Weez a long time ago.
That's right. You do have a background with this city, yes, don't you?
And having said that, if I borrowed any money, you're not getting it back. So come to the show, you're gonna get your. It don't work that way.
You're out.
You're
of
not
state
even
now.
Getting a free
you knew
ticket.
I was an asshole when you met me. Don't give me anything. It's gonna be good.
Weez never left, and he still says that to people.
You know, it's funny because I'm in this town. I love it. I don't know why. It's definitely. I know people come here. It's not the weather. I mean, like today.
No, this is awful.
Yesterday was 40 degrees, and then today it's snowing. And, God, you know, if you're a weatherman in Rochester, you got to be good.
I think you just throw darts.
No,
darts and pick one. Say, yeah, it's going to be that today,
I guess.
But
last night he goes on, he says, well, you know what? It's going to start off with some snow. It's going to be some blustery winter whiteout thing. And then the sun's going to come out. Well, when's that ever happen?
Right.
And I'm out there now. Here comes the sun.
I have a theory for a city this size. You tell me if I'm crazy. You know, in a city the size of Rochester, where we have, what, about 3 or 4 network television news shows produced locally. You only really need one local weatherman who knows what they're doing.
Right.
That's all you need is one who knows what they're doing, and the rest of them could just copy off the paper.
Well,
pretty much.
And let's be honest, you know, from what? I don't know, November to March, you pretty much know what's going to go on.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could also like call the Weather Channel or just like check online and then report it.
I have an app for that.
Go from November to March and just go, let's just say it's not going to be beach weather.
Hey, it's Glenn Johnson here with your weather report. Google says it's going to be 46 today.
It's just amazing. Well, but I love this town, man. It's a great town. I found out last night, I was driving around, I go, something's not right here. But they filled in the
interlude.
The interlude.
Yeah.
How much dirt do you need
to fill in
a major expressway?
It was mostly bodies.
I was like...
of lovely Warren's enemies.
I came back there and I go, well, wait a minute, there's a whole road gone.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. So eventually they finally got tired of going, hey, you know what? This sucks.
What years did you live here?
Oh, my goodness. What am I asking?
It's 2018 now.
2018 now. I think, was it 90? 92?
Wow.
you know, maybe 92 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, but that was interesting to see that they did that.
So you worked on Weeze when Joe T was there and all that good stuff.
Weeze was Joe T, and then they had Tommy Lee, and they had,
love me some Tommy.
Yeah, and a couple other people were there too. But it's all good. I mean, you know, I went out and I learned a lot of experience from him and everything else. At this point now, I'm trying to, with the comedy turning around the way it's turning,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about just getting out of the rate. I'm just tired of waking up. I'm 57 years old.
You do not look 57 years old, sir.
I'm completely gray on the inside.
Yeah. Brian looks 57.
As are we all.
But I just, you know, something like, I don't want to be like 60 years old getting up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. I look at it this way. Let's say I left radio tomorrow, okay, and I only lived like 3 days. And God forbid I would have dropped dead. That would be 3 days I didn't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That would be enough going. I didn't even go to hell after I died. You just know I had 3 days of not getting up in the morning. And they'd be like, fire and everything. I said, yeah, but I slept in the past 3 days. Bring the shit on. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if I could give anybody any advice, man, find out what you do. You guys seem like you love doing this, man. And just embrace it. And just make it your bitch, because
life, I really,
long, tedious, people go, life is short. That's what young people,
no, tell, it's not,
to justify, no, doing your own thing.
Yeah.
But life is a long, drawn out, tedious process. You go up to someone that works 70 hours a week and tell them life is short, and they'll kick you right in the freaking balls. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to do what you like. And that's what I think I'm at this point now, where it's like, I love this. I get great response. I'm getting more response back from the industry. It's just a shame it took so long to do that. But you know, it all happened for a reason. So it's cool.
Listen, man, you're doing very, very well. And you've done some pretty great stuff in the past as well. I mean, I want to start kind of at the beginning with your comedy career, if that's all right.
Okay.
What year did you first step on stage? Like, how old of a guy were you?
Oh, God. You know, it's funny. I can't remember how old I was when I did it. I do remember it was in Westport, Connecticut, at a place called the Treehouse Comedy Club that was in the basement. Figure that out.
But it was below the banquet room.
Yeah, it was, you know what it was? It was in a place called the Westport Inn.
Uh-huh.
And if you went into the restaurant, it had one of those atrium windows that kind of curve out, you know, that like circular, yep, windows. So when you went downstairs, there was a room shaped like the room upstairs. And they, oh, great, this is a great place to put a stage.
Right.
So they decided to do comedy there and everything. And that actually turned into a legitimate club. And I just jumped on stage there and started working there. But, you know, it's one of these things where it's just, you just got to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it, keep performing at it. I feel bad for new people that are starting today, because I hate to meet people that are trying to find themselves in their comedic thing.
Yeah, I wish they'd stay lost.
Yeah, you know, well, let me tell you, a lot of it waters down it, because these people,
yeah,
a lot of, exactly, people are like, well, I tell jokes. Well, I should be getting paid for it.
Yeah.
They go out, they get someplace, or they con someplace into doing it, and then they go up there and they're all just mediocre to sucking. And then it just waters down the whole thing.
I can tell you, if we didn't have all this equipment here, Vinny and I would stand up and give you a standing ovation.
Right, I want to hug you.
Yeah.
I want to hug you right now, Earl David Reed.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's one of those things that is very, very true. And I believe it comes from a misplaced type of thinking that they're doing something good.
Right.
Like, yeah. I could get the more stage time, the better. So I could go out there and I could give stage time to my mediocre friends, and mm-hmm. we could put on a show. And the fact of the matter is, any paying customer is not going to be getting what they're expecting that they're paying for.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that hurts the, yep, comedy business.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts the business putting it on. And frankly, it should hurt you as a performer that you sold, that you thought that you should sell yourself, you know, that soon, and really not work, yeah, on developing your craft before, and that's disrespectful to comedy almost.
Well, first of all, I will accept the hug from you, but I just want to let you know
it's going to be warm.
My hugs, I get carried away, and my tongue comes out. But
Brian, hug him for me.
But you're right, and that's what it is. It waters it down. Here's the thing about comedy. First of all, like last night, you know, and I always say it, and it almost makes me go emotional when I say it. I go, you know what? This is 2018. You know all the different shit you can be doing right now than be here. I mean, you don't even have to leave your home to be entertained. But something inside of you said, you know what? We're fucking going out.
Yeah.
We're going out. We're going to sit in front of this guy, and he's going to make us laugh.
Right.
That's a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay? And you have so much stuff on TV. So I believe when you do it live, it's got to be good, because you're competing against people turning on the channel and going, hey, whatever. Because now everyone seems to think, Everyone seems to think that, I know so-and-so's comedy, so that guy is good, so I'm going to watch him.
Yeah.
Which is great. There ain't a person in the world that's not going to watch Dave Chappelle if he has a special on.
Right.
Because the guy's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, but, you know.
Tell it to Faison Love.
Right. You know.
He was in here last week, and he disagrees.
Well, here's my thing. I think here's the thing. And that's what's good about it. We can all disagree.
Yeah.
I'm just busting his balls. Keep going.
But
I'm sorry.
The weird thing about it, too, is like, if you, you know, that so that's good. That's a good gauge to go by. But there's tons of people that play tons of clubs that'll still make you laugh. The bottom line is you got to leave that place thinking that guy was funny.
Exactly.
Anything shy of that is you're fucked.
It's failure.
Yep.
Totally been
it's
screwed.
Failure. And that's why comedians are so, like, good comedians that want to do something get so upset if they have a bad set because they go, I know this can affect me.
Right.
And it does. And, you know, whether it's with the booker, whether it's with the venue, whether it's with the crowd, you know what? Let me tell you something. If you come see my show, I want you to want to come see me again.
Right.
And
exactly.
That should be your mentality. It shouldn't be, I'm going to work on some new stuff and I'm going to play around and do this.
You know?
Especially when you're starting out, for the love of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone can get the gig the first time. It's getting that second gig. It's
exactly.
Getting the second time back in. It's the guy saying, hey, man, come back in. We want you back. That's fun.
Show them that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
What? It's so well said.
It's so water. It's so it irritates me that people confuse the quantity with the quality.
Yeah.
You know, I got 20 minutes. I should be able to feature.
You may be able to talk for 20 minutes, but make somebody laugh in those 20. I dare you.
This will get me in trouble, too. I'm tired of radio people who think they are funny. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Okay, bring it on. Bring it. Can I still be? This seems weird with you on the couch.
I love him.
Holy shit, we got the wrong channel. We got the interracial love channel.
I feel like we're just four grumpy old guys bitching, but goddammit, we're right.
Well, no, here's the thing. Because listen, you read all you want off your bit board and your shit happens. Okay, I get it. Okay, every radio person wants to be funny. Now, the guy I work with, okay, is a funny guy radio-wise. He put 15 minutes together, okay? So would I do like a theater, because I do the Secret of My Success, the one-man show with big stage set and everything.
We're going to get there. I want to talk all about that in a minute.
Well, he'll open for me sometime, you know? And he's like, well, I think I'm ready to feature. And I'm going, listen, you can't tell people their dues to pay in this business. People say, you got to go. Because there's not dues. Because there are no rules to this business.
No, yeah.
You know what? Someone can come in and go, hey, we like that guy to play the neighbor on Joey and the Fart Face. He can play
that guy doesn't even have 5 to 7 minutes.
Right. Doesn't matter.
Right.
So there are no rules to the business. However, when you talk about wanting to feature somewhere, the feature is like, feature in comedy is like arena football.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody that's in arena believe they should be playing in the NFL. So they all the features believe they can headline, and they'll bust their ass to headline.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. So when you come along going, you know, I got 15 minutes, and you don't figure out that you're on the stage because of pure nepotism, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So the radio guys, if you're out there and you want to do comedy, do yourself a favor. Stop it. Okay, unless you're a comedian that does radio. Otherwise, get up there, say, hey, you're ready to rock, and they go, yay, and then you go, no, we're not ready to rock because it's a comedy show. Throw out your fucking t-shirts, okay? All right, and then go stand by the Plinko board. I'm going to do what I need to do, okay? So I'm so irritated with that. It makes my co-host crazy that I talk about it, but I go, but it's true, you know? Funny. It has to be funny to a large group of people for you to be a comedian.
Correct.
Okay? Okay? It can't be, this titter-tatter. Okay? You got to find 100 people in a room, let's just say, that have 100 different backgrounds, 100 different lifestyles, 100 different beliefs, and make them all come together and have one fucking laugh.
I'll tell you what. I saw, I have not watched a lot of episodes of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, but there was an excellent example of talking about the differences between radio and stand-up. Jerry Seinfeld and Howard Stern sitting down having a cup of coffee.
Right.
And Howard starts to explain to Jerry that what's really funny is when you could stand in front of the microphone and just say whatever comes out of your head.
Right.
And Seinfeld looks at him and says, you know, comedians have to do it when there's people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard was like, oh, yeah, well, I guess you're right. I never really thought of it. Well, and Seinfeld's like, yeah, it just dawned on you, Howard?
Yeah, well, it's funny because Jerry is right. And but as, in the case of Howard Stern is brilliant because he built who he is.
Sure.
He became who he was. And then all of a sudden, through some miracle or whatever, he became the barometer
sure.
of what yeah. it's supposed to be.
I
and
guess
that's
I'm,
where you want to be, too.
I guess I'm just saying that it's a very different medium.
Oh, yeah.
And, when, and like, you have to approach them completely mm-hmm. differently. And I kind of, like, I know a lot of radio guys. In fact, I had a radio producer in here the other day. And I want your opinion on this because you work in the industry and you're a comedian. Do you feel that, like, program directors do not want to hire comedians?
It's funny. I believe they want to hire them to a certain degree because they too deep down know that as funny as their radio guy is, he's not reaching where they need to reach. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think nowadays they may not want to hire them because they're scared. They seem to believe that everyone is going to be a loose cannon.
Right.
The hard thing about radio or comedians doing radio is it's like a lot of them can't make that transition. I can sit and do a radio show. I do one every day.
Right.
I can do one every day and still be that funny guy and still go on stage and perform like I don't even do radio.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when I'm out and about, and if I'm in the area, I do radio.
Yeah.
I go, this ain't a radio show, folks. This
yeah.
is comedy night, which is, goes me back to the coast. That's why I'm sometimes I can't bring him with me.
Right.
Because now it becomes a glorified
Now it's
radio
a radio
appearance.
Yeah.
And I go, no. This is what's going to separate me from this. So when they kick me out of this, you'll still want to come see this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I believe they don't want to hire those guys because now they really look at it as a talent and an ability now.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, shit, we can't pay for that. What do we put a price on that? You know, so they'll find the local guy. But what happens with the comedians a lot of times, the defense of radio is, you know, they get up there, they go through their whole bit of what they do, and then they don't know what to talk about. Because they're just comedians.
Yeah.
You know, how many times you go into a radio station? Like for me, they always go, all right, we got 7 minutes, okay? And we got to be out by whatever.
Are you talking to me or Brian? They don't let him on the regular radio.
They go, give us 5 topics you want us to talk about.
In 7 minutes. Beautiful.
Yeah, and then we'll lead you into it and it'll be funny. Because it has to be funny. You got 7 minutes to sell tickets to like that. And they go, listen, I'm a comedian. You just bring it on. You talk about what you want to talk about. I'll get into it and make it funny because that's what I do. I don't know because I work off what's in front of me. So I don't have 5 topics I want to. You throw out 5 topics. Here's going to be more impressive. Give me a topic and I'll give you my opinion on it and make it funnier because that's how I perform. I perform like with everything in front of me.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, then because anyone listening knows, oh, yeah, well, yeah. You know, no one's that bright and that quick at 7 o'clock in the morning when you go, so what do you think about the story about whatever? Oh, well, and you're leading them into stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so they know. What these programmers with the radio need to do as far as bringing in comedians and stuff like that, too, is bring them in and train them. Just don't make them sit there and tell jokes. Make them learn how to run the stuff, run the shit. I had to learn how to run a board.
And that was the interesting thing that my friend said to me. He goes, you know, and a lot of it is the fact that they don't think that comedians bring a lot to the table in terms of the broadcasting side of it.
Right.
Because when you have to put money into a talent, in the radio business, like, I'll give you a good example. Wheeze's producer, Paulie, God bless that kid. Paulie G, if you're watching this, I still want one of those legalized marinara t-shirts you got.
Yes. Let me tell you what. I've got 3 jars
of that sauce.
It is amazing.
In Mark's truck, and we're walking outside the building, and I'm carrying him like this, and it's icy. I said, you imagine if I slip and fall, and she's all great when the ambulance get here, the mess that's going to be.
They won't know what's like, blood, what's marinara.
I'd play it up. I'd roll around in it for a while. Just going,
they're all covered in it. They won't be able to just listen.
I'd be licking it off.
We can't have it. We have to just ask the Parmesan cheese.
Don't let it go to waste.
Well, I guess my point with this is that poor guy, you know, every time there's a shift open during the day, he fills it. Every time, you know, there's production work for things, he's sitting there doing it. And, you know, he's an on-air talent. But, man, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work because radio has been stripped down behind the scenes. There's not, like, 3 producers for a show anymore where they're pulling clips and doing things.
No,
it's just a different business.
It's funny you mention that because even at the station that I'm at, there's no producer.
Yeah.
You know, when they have a spot and they got to pull the clip for the spot, I had to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had to learn how to run the board and run the morning show so the morning guy can go on vacation
well,
because they don't let us all go at the same time anymore.
I would like to offer you Brian. You may take him back and use him as a producer. He's all yours.
My family lives in York, so
I don't even know. Oh, in York?
Yeah.
I don't even know if they even pay you. That's the thing, too.
I don't pay him either. You can still just take him.
Here's what
I still show up here for
crazy.
Some reason I can't figure
this
out.
This is what makes them crazy. I can tell you right now what makes the radio people crazy. It's like you bring in the comedian, okay? And this is where it is. Everybody in radio has an ego, has a huge ego. I think when you look at like a guy like Weeze, you go, well, you know, Weeze is just kind of like Weeze. He's just been there. He's there. You know, they're just, you know, he just wants to get what he's supposed to get.
I think he just appeared.
But everybody that you meet is like, has an ego in radio.
Yeah.
You go to any radio person, they'll tell you two things. How long they've been doing this and their best job they ever had. And it's never the job they're doing at that moment. We used to get bagels by strippers. They used to bring them in, and not just women strippers, male strippers. They'd carry them on their penises, and, you know. All
I got to buy my own waters here, though,
and that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So it's different. The reason why a lot of radio people don't respect the comedian, and because it's almost a slight, like a hating thing. It's almost because. The radio guy is hired on ability.
Yeah.
Okay? The comedian's hired on talent.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
And the radio guy would love to be called talented instead of having ability.
Yeah. It's basically the old, if you're going to use a sports broadcasting metaphor, folks, it's like the play-by-play guy versus the color guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're two very different jobs, even though they make it sound like they're just broadcasting one thing. They have two very separate jobs.
He said color guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Color guy. Color guy, not the...
All right, no,
there was no D. There was no D. There was no D.
But I tell you, but see, that's what it is. And they get upset with that. And so and so that's why I go, okay, well, then let me make myself a little viable. Let me learn this stuff.
Right.
And everything. Because I said, well, you know, you got to learn all this stuff. I said, that's fine. I'll learn it. But now you're making me more dangerous than I am.
Yeah.
Because I already got the gift of gab. I already can talk. And now you're going to teach me this, too. I'm going to be a scary entity. Matter of fact, I went to the afternoon guy who was our program director. And I go, hey, you go on vacation, man. Let me take your shift for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's like, no.
He's like, that's all right. Yeah. You know?
I did radio for like 2 years, sports talk. And all I could hear anybody talk about all the time in the break room was their contract. Mm-hmm. It was like watching an episode of Ballers. Like all they talked about was their goddamn contract.
Well,
like they're
what?
Always worried about the next contract.
I don't even have a contract now. It's a day to day thing. They're offering a lot of people contracts. I think the people in this town, like Big Weeze, probably has one. You know, but you know,
it's no, like, I think there are a lot of them. I don't know. I feel like that's
nobody
cool.
in our building with the company network has one.
Okay,
as far as I know. It's a day-to-day sort of thing at this point.
Well, everybody watching right now, don't forget you can come see Earl David Reed tonight, 7:30 show. And if you want to win some tickets to see it, send us a Facebook message. What should we give them? What should we use for a code today?
Curse Mediocrity, I think, is what we...
Curse Mediocrity.
Yeah, I think that's what we
send us the code, Curse Mediocrity, to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast Facebook, and we'll hook you up with some tickets.
And it's even okay.
Smart for keeping it simple.
It's even okay if you can't spell mediocrity.
If you spell mediocrity wrong, I mean...
5,000 cents with the word meteor in it, I can tell you right now. Or shit.
Come see Earl David Reed. So I want to ask you this one question that has just been on my mind.
He
since,
asked me anything he wants.
Okay.
I'm not gay.
You were on Star Search.
Mm-hmm.
Ed McMahon was there, if I recall.
Uh-huh.
And did you get to meet Ed McMahon?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how drunk was he?
I don't think he was drunk at all. He was actually looking nice and fresh because they just had him repainted. But it was amazing. It was good. I got to meet him. And you know what's really weird too is I was watching an old clip the other night, and it was Johnny Carson, and he had Don Rickles on.
Yes.
And he had and I thought to myself, it just occurred to me how I've been in this business and how long I've been in this business, because two out of those three people sitting there I had met and had conversations with. And there's actually some video footage of me talking with Don Rickles, because he's like, if you look at my resume, they call me an urban style Don Rickles, okay? And when I was in Vegas, I played Vegas at the Riviera, which is no longer there at this point. But after my late show, they had put that in the paper and it came out on a Friday. My late show Saturday, the owner that runs the place is coming back. I want you to meet somebody.
You're kidding me.
It's Don Rickles.
Oh, my
and
God.
He's reading the paper. He's got the article up. And he sees me walk in, and he goes, oh, they introduce me to him, and he goes, holy shit, he's black. My God. You know? So, nice to meet you. Where's my wallet? He would not never stop.
Oh, my God.
And so I got to meet him, but now he was in Pennsylvania at the Sands in Bethlehem, not this past May, but the May before. And he had called me up on stage, like, it doesn't, and I got to chat with him and stuff like that, and too. So, you know, it's
he was a sweet guy. A sweet guy who was, you know, everybody was terrified of him, but he was a sweet guy.
So it was nice. So bringing back to Ed McMahon, that made me think of it because they were both sitting there, and it made me think about all the people I might have met in this business or the past that I've crossed. And I'm sitting there, and I remember sitting there talking to somebody going, you know what, again, I've met both of those people. I've had conversations with both of those people. Who else in the room could say that? When you get in this business and when you do comedy and you do stand-up, you don't know who you're going to run into or anything else like that or how people
are going to see you.
I didn't think the Las Vegas Review Journal was going to call me that, you know? But I went out there and I got a standing ovation and I'm going, great. My ultimate goal is to perform in Vegas. I would love to be in Vegas because my act is that way. I'm actually learning piano because I have an ending that I do in my show. And if I put it to music, it's going to be absolutely.
You're taking piano lessons at 57?
As an adult. And let me tell you something.
That shit's hard.
You got kids and stuff like that. Yeah. If you're a young person, learn all this shit now. Learn it while your mind's not cluttered about mortgages and whatever. Learn it when you can. It's just hard. It's a bigger accomplishment to learn it as an adult.
Very much so.
Good at it. And I have a show at the Whitaker Center in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, October 6th, and that's the day I plan to play for the first time.
On stage.
Nice. And for the first time, yeah. So within the realms of the show. So I'm always trying to find out some ways to make it a little bit better.
So
I'm not farting around with the performance part of it. So
here's what I need to know about this, because that's fascinating to me. You decided that you were like, I need to have piano in my act and learned how to play piano, or you decided I'm going to learn how to play piano, then decided to put it in your act?
I think it's a push. I think it was a push because I was like, I think if I put this in, it's going to make me more entertainer-like. There's no reason why a comedian at let's say, a B level, as far as levels are concerned, I give an A performance, but you're not going to know me if you see me on the street. But the reason why that works so well is it's perception. When I walk out there and I have that whole stage set thing, let me see if I can pull it up here.
All right.
And the whole stage set thing, you know, people go, oh, that it's just amazing. Because if you go to a comedy club or even a comedy concert, okay, and you see a comedian, what's going to happen is, regardless of who it is, they're probably going to walk out, unless they're filming something, they're going to walk out and they're going to have a stool. And they're going to there's my set right there. Let me show you that.
Holy
right there.
Crap!
Show you that right.
What
there.
What is that? Show it to the camera. Like, hold it right up in front
right
of
there. Pull it back a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
It looks that's like crazy. A big construction set.
Oh wow! My God.
You know,
that's
it's
amazing.
All perception. It's like when people come out and they see that, they go, "Well, this guy's got to be good. Who the hell's going to have all that shit up there?"
You were like, you know what? I could do my act, but I think I'm going to need a piano for this.
And I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, now I got a guy that put my set together. He goes, well, we got to figure out how to get a piano on there and not look like a piano, because once it's out there, people will focus on it and go,
good
oh,
point.
A piano. He's going to play it. So what we did is I have a girl that really her name is Jess Singer, and Jess Singer has a company called Let It Be Pots. She paints and designs different things and designs on it. And she got the idea for this gig because she was going out with this guy that she thought she was going to marry, okay, and he just disappeared. So all of a sudden she wrote this book and all this kind of stuff. And what a way to get even, you know? So
he disappeared?
He just kind of, she knows where he is, but he just stopped, like guys do. They just
he just stopped talking to her.
Stopped talking to her. And so she just took all that energy and put it into design because she's an art teacher at a school. So I'm gonna try to find this picture, and I'm just gonna keep talking while I do it. So
I would like to comment. We have one comment on our Facebook page. Marcus Cox, you got that wrong. It's Curse Mediocrity, not Curse Vinny. You got that wrong. I'm just going to call you out on that.
I think that's close enough,
Marcus.
I think it's close
enough. How dare you? How dare you,
look at
sir?
That. People, now that you can text.
Give the man some
right
tickets.
Right away, everybody can just go, okay, great. Now that you can text now. Let me see if I can get this thing.
I'm just always dodging shade up here. So three more shows this weekend with Earl David Reed. We're very excited about that. And so this stage is for your one-man show. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Couldn't you tell us a little bit about that?
Like, yeah, I'm interested.
Well, basically what it is it's only an extended version of who I am. And it has some kind of motivational things in it from here and there, like some of the stuff we just talked about, you know, about learning something as an adult. And things
you might
like
want to use that mic a little
yourself,
bit more.
I'm sorry, finding yourself and all kinds of cool things like that. Because, you know, like when you get to be this age, because you guys are like, what, in 40s?
I'm 35, he's 50.
I'm in my 40s.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's what, when you get to this point, there's one or two things that either happen in your life. You're either ecstatic where you are right now, which only happens to like lottery winners and people who marry poor.
I cry a lot.
But other than that, but you get to a certain point, you go, well, heck, what should I be doing at this point? And then it's about finding who you are and what you are and then just and enjoying it. Because once you get to be like 50 years old and stuff like that, you know, people go, oh, you know, I'm 57. Well, you shouldn't worry about it. You're going to be 57. That's middle age. I'm going, you know, a bunch of 114-year-old people wandering around here.
And then there's
I'm on the death slide. I'm on the slide going down at this point as far as numbers in life is concerned.
So he may be slapping the ivories all the way down.
Yeah, and yeah, you're so looking I and you're looking
like, well,
good
heck,
doing
I can learn how to play something.
I'll tell you, my wife would be pissed, but I would be ecstatic if I made it to 57. I would be thrilled about it. So that's just my mentality on the situation.
How long have you been married for?
Going to be 10 years.
10 years, and where'd you meet your wife at? Where'd you meet her?
I met my wife while I was working for a non-for-profit agency, and she was working with the same agency on a different project. And, yeah. We're generally good-hearted people.
Oh, that's annoying.
Now, do you feel? I know you're talking about like learning new stuff at older age, but do you feel like personality-wise, I kind of felt like around about 40, like this is just who I am, and that's never going to change.
Well, no, here's the deal.
And just I'm just going to accept it, and people got to accept it, and that's who I am.
Give up trying to be any guy, especially 35 is a perfect age for this. As soon as you give up trying to be cool, your life is going to get 10 times.
Oh,
easier.
Absolutely.
10 times easier.
Absolutely.
You
don't,
then, first of all, you're going to save a ton of money because you're not getting out there the latest things, latest clothes.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been very happy since 25.
And you become cooler to other people.
Well, that's it because the people, actually, because now you're who you're really supposed to be.
Yeah.
And those people are gravitating for you. Now, see, there's a girl. She painted this garbage can, this trash can.
Show it to the camera.
That looks like my logo on my stage thing. Let me see if I can look at it. I have like.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
So there's a whole metal trash can. So when I get the piano, she's going to paint the piano
to look like a trash can
with these colors.
Oh wow!
With my brand colors in it. So
awesome.
And that's going to do it. And by doing that, it'll fit right into the scene, and you probably won't even see it.
What color are you going to paint the truck that hauls the piano around?
Oh no, I don't have to worry about that. I show up and it's there.
I'd like to offer you if you need it for tonight, Nick's roommate has a keyboard you could probably borrow.
Let me tell you something right now.
It's my keyboard.
I have a Yamaha keyboard at the house that I play. But it's funny because I learned this does not have the same key action as a regular piano does. It doesn't hold the notes because there's no pedals or anything.
Right.
It doesn't hold it. So I just use that to kind of stay fresh with it. When I go to the music teacher, then I have to go and try to be as best as I can at it. But it's all about, like I said, perception. It's investing in yourself. I could have had anyone come up with that whole set and sponsor it and everything else like that, pay for the whole thing myself. And now I get more theaters.
Yeah.
Because
they
look at it and go, let's take this guy.
That's an interesting point. Yeah. Production value goes a long way, especially if you're trying to play some bigger places.
And plus now, it's like, if you want to play like a theater, like for me right now, I'm doing anything from 500 to 600, to 500 to 1,000 seats.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough for me. But now, at this point, you know, you walk out there, there's a big black stage and a stool and a microphone and you stand in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, okay. No theater wants to bring that in. They're going to send you down the street to the comedy club to see that.
Yeah, sure.
They don't want comedy acts. They want comedy performances.
They want a show.
And that's what everyone wants now. That's why when you come to this club, it's like a theater. You will get a good performance. You will get one this weekend. You'll get one from the weekend after anyone else that comes here. Because he's not putting shit up on that stage. He knows. Mark knows that, like you were saying earlier, with the quality of everything that goes up there. You have to invest in that because there's so much shit out there now. You can't put mediocre out there. You know, I don't even know what the ticket price is to get in here, but you're still asking people to pay you to so you can do something. They're paying to see you do something they allegedly can't do.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to get up there and you're going to suck, they're going, you know what? You know, people always say, you know, my cousin could be a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, your cousin ain't here tonight.
That's like I say as a joke all the time. You talk about people in the crowd who think they can do it. And people, and I say it joking, but friends will ask, how do you deal with hecklers? And I go, I'm good. I don't get heckled.
Well,
you know, that's kind of a joke.
You don't have friends and you're not. So just stop.
I said it was a joke, Finny.
Well, here's the thing, too. A lot of people nowadays, here's what I'm finding out nowadays, they're not really people that heckle anymore. Because people, they come out and they want, you know, please, with me, don't even try it because there's a YouTube thing of me going on ripping some person apart. But, you know, but people come out and they go, well, we want to be entertained.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the guy next to you. If that guy feels he got to add something, then the guy that owns the place needs to tell that guy to shut up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's what it comes down to. You see the video of the guy getting attacked on stage?
Oh, yeah.
That was a beaut.
Okay. Now, that guy wasn't even mad at the comedian. He was just drunk.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of shithole place is going to call another body, ballroom?
Yeah.
That calls itself a comedy club because on Friday and Saturday, they have comedy there. They didn't even have a name of the place.
Tarp behind them.
Yeah, and you don't respect comedy or forget comedy, the guy on stage enough to make sure he's protected.
No, he's just got to talk.
And it's like okay, well, listen, they're drinking, keep talking. They're drinking, keep talking. And it's places like that that people don't want to go back to. And whoever runs that comedy club or whatever it is or where it is, it should be shut down. They shouldn't even let you run comedy.
There should be a comedy authority.
You're a disgrace to comedy and to the safety of people. Guy could have a gun for all we know.
Yep.
Did you ever see that video of the guy? There was a guitar act on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my all-time favorite. Did you ever see that one?
I don't think I did.
I might have to pull this up on YouTube. Nick, hold on a second. I might have you pull up my computer.
Gotcha.
There's a guy who, Brian, he's on stage. And he's getting heckled, and he's got a guitar, and he's just talking crap to this guy. And the heckler comes up on stage, and this guy pulls like he's Jeff Jarrett from 1997.
Jeff Jarrett in it.
He like pulls out the guitar and just cracks the guy over the head. The guy goes down like a ton of bricks, and then the comedian has the greatest reaction I've ever seen from an overconfident person who just assaulted someone. He's like, he hit me first, right, everybody? And like the crowd is like, no. No.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing. You should not be able to get my thing is once you get up, once you make when you step on that stage, okay, that is the problem. And you never leave like this other guy did. You never leave the mic. The mic is your only source of weapon. And I don't mean to swing it and kill anybody.
Yeah.
If you know what smokes mic stands. And I brought this up on stage. Have a big, heavy bass.
Yep.
Like a big plunger.
Yeah.
So now you use that to at least keep the guy off you.
Like a lion tamer.
Yeah. In hopes that someone comes up and gets it.
That's what I thought watching the video, too. Was my first thought was, why did he walk away from the mic stand?
And because that was the first thing that guy grabbed.
So. Nick, pull up my computer real quick. Let's show this video real fast. It's Don McLean doing stand-up comedy, everybody. Goodbye, Miss American Pie. So this guy comes up. He's playing his guitar like a little goofball. Guy's coming at him. Oh, wind up, Jeff Jarrett.
Or Elias Sampson, more modern reference.
Yeah. Oh, crack.
Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah.
Not that guy.
That guy just, you can pull it out, Nick. That's all right. But that guy cracked a dude over the head with the guitar.
Jeez. I don't want to be the judge on that case. You go, well, the guy shouldn't have come up on stage, but yet.
Yeah,
that was a little extreme.
that was a bit much, sir.
But that's what you know. That's what you don't want it to come down to. You don't want everything to come down to a free for all or anything else. Which is really weird because it's like now you see some of these comedians that are taking the political route. If you come to my show, here's what I'm going to do. If you come to my show, for all you Trump supporters,
and you should come to his show,
exactly, and anti-Trump supporters, you need to understand something. As popular, as wonderful, as dynamic, and as a great entertainer as I am, I do not have enough people where I can split my audience.
Yeah. Okay? I love this guy.
People, I don't have 10 million people where I can get rid of 500,000 and go, hey, fuck you. This is what I believe in. You will not know what I believe in, okay? Because I want you to take all that crap, all that garbage, you leave it out in front of Comedy on Carlson Road, 50 Carlson Road, you leave it there. You come in, I entertain the living shit out of you, give you a mental and comedic cleansing, and then you can go back out there and pick your shit up on the street and go with it and take it with you. Or you can leave it there, be cleansed, and go out and enjoy your life. But I'm not going to sit up there and go, you know what the problem with this country is and everything out like
that. He's orange.
Yeah, people, yeah, exactly. You know, people go, oh, do you think Trump hates black people? And I'm like, oh, I said, well, how am I supposed to answer that? Okay? I wouldn't even answer it here. I don't know.
I want to know what you think. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. You brought it up.
I had a shirt the other night, had a t-shirt. It had Statue of Liberty on it. And I came on stage, not even know what it is. I bought it. I was on the road. I needed a t-shirt to go under my sports jacket. You know, you travel around. You know this. You always hit like the Old Navy or even the Walmart where they have $2 graphic tees.
That's
you know, as the season starts,
right?
Old Navy, for some reason, you know, they make those kids in Guatemala work faster to make more t-shirts, which is ironic. My picture of my shirt with the Statue of Liberty was made in Vietnam, by the way, which I found that to be funny. But I had the t-shirt on, and I said, look at this, I got my Statue of Liberty t-shirt on because it's the only woman I can go inside of constantly, and she won't press charges down the road. So I had that, and I just said that and people were like, and I thought to myself, that's as close as I'm going to get. It's stupid. It's not even majorly funny. I just threw it out there because it was out there. But I'm not going to get that close.
Isn't that a sign of a times where a comedian just saying something goofy like that in his own head is like, oh, did I do right?
Yeah, you're worried.
And I'm pretty far out there. You know, I had a 95-year-old woman in there last night that I told I was going to have sex with, okay? She just texted me, by the way. But the point is, and that's how it is. My audience ranges from 35 and up. And I entertain everybody.
The way up, apparently.
And yeah. But see, I don't want anyone to get up and walk out of my show, which, by the way, is a white person thing. White people love to take a stand and make a statement. Who cares if we pay $50 to get in here? We're going to get up and leave. You can't get a black person to leave. And if they're leaving, that means they're walking out on the bill. So you want to make sure you check that out. That's what you have to do. But I don't want people to get up.
The voice of experience, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, it's like you can't, you know, it's like you just don't want to get to a point where people are going, okay, maybe I wanted to escape from that, or maybe I just wanted to, you know, not have to deal with that tonight. So I don't deal with it. You know, it's like watching a Disney film. It's still going to be fun. It's still going to be entertainment. Okay. You're going to have a great time. And if you want to pick that stuff up when you go, that's fine. Plus, I don't really know about, you know, politics and, you know, and this stuff, you know, global warming.
I don't remember the part in Hunchback of Notre Dame where he tried to fuck a 95-year-old woman, though.
There's that part in that woman that did that?
Okay, I'm joking. Great joke, Nick. Killed it.
I was funny because I thought to myself when it came to that sort of thing with the whole politics and stuff like that, I was like, yeah, I just don't, you know.
Yeah. You actually really summed it up really well. Why split your audience?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that kind of guy. And even if I had 10 million people, or if I was really famous, you know, I don't know.
I'd like to keep 10 million people.
I'd like to keep them. This is no disrespect to people that stand for what they believe in and stuff like that, too. But as an entertainer, it's like, you know, I'm not going to tell you what I do in the privacy of my own home. So why do I feel I need the because I have that platform to share it to you? I'll talk about saving rescue dogs or anything, stuff like that, long before. Well, you should do that. Matter of fact, the only thing I said the other night was on stage, I said, I don't do anything political. This has nothing to do. I just want to make a statement. This has nothing to do with, if you like this side, whatever. It's just a statement. And then I'm going to use a bad word, and I'm going to say it when I do this, and we're going to move on from it because this is what I just got out of that. Out of this whole thing, I said, no man in his lifetime has ever grabbed a woman by the pussy. It's physically impossible, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hidden. It's up and it's under.
Right.
It's, if you find a woman whose genitalia is hanging out front like that, it's a guy.
It's the opposite of a handle.
And that's it. So
no one's ever done the tongue and death grip to a vagina.
No, exactly. Like you're not gonna... Exactly. It's just, you just can't, you know. And by the time you get to that point, they already know what you're doing and they run away. Yeah. But, you know, it just, But my point being is so I don't get into any of that. I don't want people getting up and leaving, because once someone walks out of your show, then you got to get the rest of the people back, because they're looking at your reaction to it.
Yeah, they want.
Okay,
yeah.
It doesn't faze me as much as it fazed the other person. Last time
But everybody thinks it's gonna, and they want to see what's he gonna do. Yeah,
and then I got to explain to them how uncomfortable it's not for me. Like we did last time when this show was at whatever this club was at the old place. This guy sitting in the front row, or in the front row, like the back, and he's got his phone up and he's taping the show.
Mm-mm.
So I thought to myself, you know, I go, dude, you know, you're not supposed to tape the show. And he wouldn't stop taping the show. So I go, well, what are you taping the show? Well, my friends want to see it. I go, okay, well, that's cool.
Buy him a ticket.
What about that big son of a bitch right there that just paid money to see this show? Okay, you think your friends are better than that fucking guy? So then that guy's mad at him.
Right. There you go.
So the guy finally gets up and he walks out and he says to me, you know, yeah, you're a fucking asshole. And, you know, and I don't know if they ever called me an asshole before, but, you know, unbelievably.
You get used to it. Right.
And he's like 25, 26 years old. So, you know, he's just mad because I'm
called him out.
Probably be his father. But, you know, it's just, you know, and you see that and they leave, you know, and you go, you know what? Why are you mad?
And what is that with people thinking it's okay to tape a comedy show? You know it's not okay to tape a movie.
Well, listen,
so why
like
do you think it's okay to tape a comedy
show?
You
can go on YouTube and see whatever that. You don't even have to be here to tape it. So.
Yeah, I'll tell you the coolest thing I've ever seen a performer do when somebody taping them was Richie Ramone, mm-hmm. one of the former Ramones, was playing at a very small venue. I went to check it out. And a dude is standing right next to the stage with a cell phone camera.
Mm-hmm.
Richie's fronting the band. He's singing. Like, there's a little break in the song where he doesn't have to sing. He steps down off of the stage, walks over to the guy, puts his arm around him. And I was close enough to hear what he said. He goes, come on, dude, you're living it. You're living it. Why are you taping it, man? Why you're living it? And then he walked back up on stage. The guy put his phone away. And that always stuck with me. And I always think about that. Because, like, people in this day and age are always want to, like, share the experiences that they're having. So, like, your act is going to go on Facebook. These clips are going to go wherever this guy wants them to. And people just need to learn to live it.
Well,
just learn to live it and enjoy it.
I just can't believe you just told a Ramon story that didn't end in assault.
To be fair, Richie was only in the band for 2 years.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, too. You know, the other thing about all of that stuff, too, is when you have these guys and you know, and they're taping it and all the sound. A lot of times people are taping because they're hoping something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the guy that got the tape of the guy running up on stage didn't tape because he wasn't taping the show because he thought that was going to happen.
He was like, Jerry's really liquored up.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. So, it was, you know, he's just sitting there. And, but... It's you don't have to. You're right. Okay, the Ramon guy was right.
You just
are
live
it. You'll come
just live
this
the experience.
You'll live this show. Hey, you want to take a picture with me afterward? That's going to go a lot better than you taping that part.
Yeah.
Because guess what? When it clicks and I hit in, now you got a picture with me. That's more personal than you sharing this with your dopey friends who couldn't come up with the cover charge.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
Those sons of bitches. So it's like, you know what? That's what it comes down to. It's all about just, man, you know, just enjoying yourself. Enjoying the life. Have a great time. Like I said, come out to the Comedy Club. We got a standing ovation last night. And it wasn't because they were leaving. There's a certain time when you see them stand, you know. Sometimes people stand and they turn. When they stand and they stay, that's the standing ovation. I'm teaching you in case you don't know.
They have to be facing you.
Yes.
Correct.
You know, when they're lifting up their coat and walking the other way, that doesn't mean much. So, but I'm telling you, it's good. We're going to have a great time. This club is beautiful. This show is just wonderful.
Thank you.
And stuff. I'm sorry the guy called you up and correct. And what did you say? You said, what did you say the code was? And what did that person say?
Curse mediocrity, and they said curse Vinny.
Yeah. I think they were trying to allude that Vinny is mediocre. I think they were trying to make a joke there.
Oh.
Yeah. Or just a observation.
Yeah. Let's go with observation.
Yeah, it's about right.
I'm not the best at comedy. I'm not saying I'm the best you'll see here, but I do know one thing. It's not supposed to sneak up on you like that. You know, it's got to be like a bat to the face. Sorry, folks. You know, it's like, and I don't mean like a bunt. I mean like a full-fledged swing. Reggie Jackson, 3 home runs, Mr. October swing.
So nice job, Marcus.
You heard it here, Marcus. You're not funny.
and by the way, and Marcus might be funny for all I know, but here's the thing.
No.
We know
here's
him.
The thing, too. You can't, people will fight you in the street. You are better about talking about someone's mama or their grandmother. No one wants to be known as not funny. They will fight you. You go, well, you go to somebody and say, hey, man, you know what? Forget the president stuff. You know, you don't have a sense of humor. They want to fight you in the street. Everyone thinks they're funny. Everyone has a sense of humor. Everyone believes they can, you know, because basically people want to be the center of attention.
Do you think that's true, Brian, or have you come to terms with it?
No, I've learned to fake my way through it.
Right.
Mostly,
okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So not
yeah.
naming names, but a couple of weeks ago, we had a comic mm-hmm. that got real drunk, and somebody told him, you're not funny, and they almost got in a fist fight. So you're right.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
People not
going
to say who it was. Was on Saturday Night Live, and we did do an episode with them a few weeks ago.
It was after the show in the bar.
But it's really weird, too, because people don't, and especially people who the business has deemed funny. In other words, if you have a good resume or a big resume or something like
yeah.
that, and you hear that, then it makes you funny. But this is the other thing, too. If you're on something like Saturday Night Live, okay, and then you go out on the road to do stand-up, you owe it to yourself to be the best that you possibly can. Because
yeah.
now you're up to a barometer.
You have expectations.
That's the guy that was on this. That's the guy that was on this and everything else like that. If I go out there at this point of the stage of my career right now and I'm just okay, people leave there with a smile. They go, that's all right. But that's not going to get me to that next level. And that's why I said I got to beat you over the head with it and entertain the living shit out of you so you'll go, hey, not only am I coming back, I'm going to bring what you call it from the office. He likes comedy. I'm going to bring that. And that's what makes it all work. That's what makes
yeah.
it work together. So,
three more shows with Earl David Reed. Earl, it has been a pleasure having you on
Absolutely.
The show today, man.
He said,
you
when
taught
we started,
a class.
When we started, he said, I can stay as long as I want. Now
you
wanna, I got that.
Be
I
my guest.
That music, like, I just won an award. I got the
Oh, stop it.
And I think you forget my name right, too, because, man, I'll tell you what. You can write it. And I was a little worried with the host last night that he wasn't going to get it right because I always said that might be. And that's no disrespect to him. But it's funny because I've been called Earl David Reed, David Earl Reed,
uh-huh.
which someone, people gravitated to. Someone called me James Earl Ray the other night. Which, not only did you get the name wrong,
but that is culturally insensitive.
Wow.
Wow.
So, oh, my, because you mean the guy that killed Dr. King is doing stand up now? Everybody's in the business now.
He
oh
looks good
God.
For his age.
Was OJ opening for him?
You know, he could probably fill a club.
It really is like, you know, I hate to say it, you know, it really is a serial killer thing. You always associate when you hear three names with.
Well,
something bad.
Here's a theory behind the three name thing, and I will explain this. People always go, oh, three names like a serial killer. You know why they always use three names? It's because, let's say, because
there's another guy named Lee Oswald.
Well, they want to make sure they get the other guy right.
I'm Lee Jason
yeah,
Oswald.
Well, you know,
yeah.
no, they want to be, listen, because you got to have to say the middle name because, let's, we look, you can go in the phone book or go in the phone book. How old am I, for God's sake? Phone book. Do they still deliver that thing?
No.
You can look online and phone, and there's Lee Oswald out there. So the reason why they use a middle name is because despite what you may think, there are other people with that name.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how that got started. They give the full name from that.
That's why whenever I murder, I use all three
right.
names.
See?
So just
it's
courtesy.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like if I kill someone, it'll be four names because I already got
yeah.
So Earl David, Gabe.
Jehoshaphat
Reed. So,
Reed.
But it's all good. I'm like, tell you, man, I can't express enough. Did you come out to this club and enjoy this club? Rochester, New York, and the area, you're not going to believe. Take it from a guy that travels to a lot of clubs. This is the best club there is. You've earned this club. Mark put his heart and soul in this club. And there was a time where I called him. I said, hey, we're going to come back to the club. And he had just left the other place. He goes, Earl, I don't even have a place. But I'm working on a place. And when I get that place, I'm going to give you a holler. So he worked not only for his own benefit, but for you folks in the area. So you need to come out here and see this club. I'm telling you. This is your club. This is Mark's gift back to Rochester. You're going to get all kinds of talent, all kinds of entertainment. Hey, listen, you can go to the movies, but guess what? All that shit's going to end up on the Netflix and everything eventually, okay? Come out here and see it live.
You know, you just tell me get a really good plug in. And I want to remind you folks, we love Mark around here. This guy did so much work to get this place open. And there was a time when he was clubless and working his way to get this place open. I remember it very, very well. And this Tuesday is his birthday. And at the Rochester Roast Battles this Wednesday night, we are going to be giving him a very special birthday roast. So don't forget about that on Wednesday. And come see Earl David Reed the rest of this weekend.
Big, you got big boobs? Is that what it is like that you're giving him?
Yes.
Oh, I have the wrong present, really?
No, two. We got two.
Am I allowed to say that anymore? Because women are angry now. I don't want to, you know. Hello, that's it.
I'm getting a call from feminist headquarters. They are very upset.
No, listen, I get it.
They can use the phone?
I
didn't say it.
That was, Brian that
Ball.
That was me.
That was Brian J. Ball.
Dude, I just wear a cup everywhere I go now. I'm not taking any chances, you know. But it's really weird. A woman last night took a picture of me, and she's got her hand on my ass like I'm the Black Taylor Swift. She's got her hand on my ass. Mm-hmm. So now, as much as this is going on in the world,
I'm sorry, my mom got out.
There's still women out there that are like, you know. So I can't, you know. You talk about mixed signals now. It's like, you know,
it's a weird world, man.
It is. Keep your hands to yourself. Basically. Yeah.
I want you all to know that Earl David Reed, not a piece of meat.
No.
No. Earl David Reed is not a piece of meat.
I'm not. I'm more of a not a meat. I'm more of a side dish. I'm like macaroni salad. Just, you know, like you don't have to eat all of me, but just, you know, make it look like it's good. You know, you ever have someone make macaroni salad? You go, oh, your aunt made that. And you go, yeah, she's blind, but we'll still eat it. It's okay.
It's a little crunchy, but, you know, it'll be okay.
It is so good to be. I love this place. It is one of my favorite cities and stuff to perform in. If you knew me from the past, whatever, come out. We'll say hello. We'll have like a little reunion, the whole thing.
But no, don't get handsy.
That's it. Don't get handsy. Don't touch.
Don't get handsy.
No touch.
You hungry?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm going to go back to sleep, actually.
We're going to Sapori. Nick, hit the credits. We'll see you next time, everybody.